Today we have what I might call one of the unexpected sayings of Jesus, that he's approached by a Canaanite woman who is asking for healing for her daughter. And we expect, I think, or we would expect, that he'll respond quickly, that he'll listen to her prayer, that he'll respond with her desire. But actually, when she comes up to her request, he's silent. She has to request again, and he emphasizes the distinctive mission of Israel. She comes a third time, and he talks about the separation of the Gentiles from the Israelites. And then only on that last time, that fourth request, does he finally grant her hearing. Does she finally respond to her prayer? That it strikes us as odd, maybe, that we would expect Jesus to respond immediately, warmly, with attention to her. But in fact, he has this distance and almost saying that he's not called to come to her, but just for the Israelites. That we wonder about that. We ask, why is it that he does this? Is he really not on board with the Gentile people? Is he really only limiting his mission to the Israelites and changing his mind here? And I think not. I think that when we look at the first reading, the prophet that Christ talks about at the cleansing of the temple, he says that God's desire is that his house be called a house of prayer for all peoples, talking about that day when it will not be just seeking relationship with one tribe, one people, one nation, but seeking that universal communion, that the desire for God is a universal communion, a universal community. And so that I think that when we look at Christ's response, it strikes me that he's, in a sense, saying what people expect to hear him say. He's saying what's kind of the understood way of things as it has been, and that he's allowing, through the persistence and faith of this Canaanite woman, to teach his apostles something different, to reveal a new phase in salvation history. That as he opens to her the grace of healing for her daughter, the apostles begin to realize that things maybe aren't as they think they were, that in fact the mission of Christ extends the mission from what it had been in the previous covenant. That for us today, we have that same question, that when we look at Christ, do we put on his lips the things that we maybe culturally expect him to say, or maybe personally would make him say, or do we allow him to surprise us? Do we allow him to be unexpected? Do we allow him to be challenging? That we can easily, in a sense, expect him to be what we want him to be, and through that, make him in our own image. That rather than encountering Christ and allowing Christ to reform us in him, his image, we can reform him in our mind into our own image, to make him, or to make God in general, a God after our own tastes, after our own desire, after popular opinion, after cultural, the culture around us, whatever it may be. That we have that constant temptation not to transform the culture, not to be transformed into the image of God, to become within the culture a changing and transforming force, but instead to allow the culture to transform us, to allow our faith and our relationship with God to be modeled and molded by the culture rather than transformed through Christ. That it's only the real Christ that can save us. That it's encountering Christ, we encounter something outside of ourselves. That if we refold or remold God into just kind of a God after our own image, then there's nothing outside of ourself to save us. It's like there's the old phrase, pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. It doesn't actually get you anywhere. Or a dog chasing his tail around. That Christ came so that we don't have to continually chase our tail. That he's someone that we can encounter outside of ourself, where we can encounter the power to be transformed. That should be our desire. Not to think, Lord, how can I make you after my own image? Or Lord, how can you be like I expect you to be, or how I would make you? But to be surprised by the otherness of God, to be surprised by the ways that he's not like us. Those places where we really need that. We need someone to open up our blind spots, to expand us beyond what we would just be. We all have those blind spots. And again, if we make God after our own image, he's bound likewise by those things, to allow him to expand our vision, our understanding, in areas where otherwise we maybe wouldn't or we struggle. So that when people encounter us, that by the grace of God, they don't say, ah, here's one more person that's a perfect fit of the culture, who's modeled in every way, but someone that can say, there's something different here, that I see something different at work, that this person's life is different from their encounter with Christ, that this person has been changed, that we can see the fruits of what has happened when this person allowed Christ to guide their life.